welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
You know, one of the most important things to us in the natural is money. And God has made a plan that we will have sufficiency. If you turn to your scriptures or make a note of the scripture, because I want to talk about a lot of things, or a number of things as they're in my heart. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this. This is the covenant I have, that you shall remember the Lord your God. He who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you, which he swore to your fathers in heaven. If you take time and read that passage, if I'm going to touch much this morning, I'm going to have to leave some of this for you to do. You will find out that God is saying he has made a covenant promise with us that we will have power to get wealth. Now, how does that power come? You may wonder. You may say it's given me power to go and use my abilities in this area or that area. But the bottom line is God has given us power to get wealth. That power is demonstrated through the scriptures as primarily being in one area. If you want to afterwards, if you have any questions or I can't understand that, I don't believe that, Pastor, then please come to me. But the Bible, through the scriptures, shows us that the power that God's given us to get wealth is in the power of our giving with a good heart of our finances. You know, if you want potatoes, grow potato seeds. Sow potato seeds. Is that right? Whatever you sow, you reap, is what the Bible says. If you sow your finances, and to do that you've got to be a giver, then God has covenanted that he has given you through this a medium of obtaining wealth. Praise God. And that wealth is in the ability to give. To keep it short, let me just take you to a New Testament scripture you'll be very familiar with. If I take you to Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now he's talking about, I'm taking one scripture because of time, he's talking about our giving of our finance, and he's talking about us giving it as unto the Lord. You're not just giving it to a person, you're giving it to God, who is using you to give it to this person or to this work or in this case to this church. God has given us power to get wealth. Luke 6:38 says this, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall I, says God, cause men, says God, to give to you. Hallelujah. Never known it fail. If you want to know the blessing of God that comes with prosperity, then get hold of God's way, because God says, I have given you already the power to get wealth. And that power is God's power through God's plan. When we give, God causes men to give into our bosom. We have to set ourselves into a place where we're open to receive what God's got for us. God's got a plan. Some people say, well, I've got enough. I don't need any more. I don't need God to increase it. You're selfish. Because if you're a giver, you want as much as you can to give to whatever or to as many as you can who need it. Selfishness can stop you giving to God, paying your tithes, honoring God with your tithes and your offerings. Church people, not this church, of course, but church people, get all of the fact that, oh, it's money. Talking about, we just want money. No. This is God's plan to bless you that believe. This is God's plan. No other way. And in that plan, this Almighty God who says, I will prosper you, I will multiply what you give. Because what you give is going into the kingdom. And what you give in the kingdom is blessing people who need the blessing of God. And you become the vehicle. And the Bible says we all need money. For the Bible says money, finish it for me, answers all things. In other words, we all need money. To get through in this life, we all need money. But it's not a covetousness. God gives us money that we can bless others. I'm not going to stay there any longer. If you have any questions on, get me later. But this is one of the things you need to be mindful of as an individual, and if you're a Christian. Honor God with your increase. Be a bountiful giver, 2 Corinthians 9 says. A bountiful giver, praise the Lord. I'm not going to get carried away with that. Second thing that I would touch on through a year is the importance of unity. In Genesis 11, chapter 11, verse 6, when they were building this tower of Babel right up to heaven, Nimrod and the rest of them, all as they were out to achieve was their greatness. And they were building this tower. And the Bible says in Genesis 11, as you can see it for yourself, God spoke and said, they are building this that they can come up to where we are. Now they are one, unity. He said, now they are one, nothing can be withheld from them. I want to tell you the power of unity. When a home is in unity, when a home is functioning together out of one, and it's because we love one another, that's the basis of it. When unity exists in a home, blessing flows, joy flows, peace flows. And when unity is found in a local church, well, what God said in Genesis 11, verse 6, is true. Nothing can be withheld from these people. If BCC is going to continue to not only do what God's called us to do, but do greater exploits and yet greater exploits and yet greater exploits, it's going to be because of one thing. Not only, first one, that we redeemed. Second, that we are in unity together. We are like that. Nobody else saying, oh, well, I don't think so. What about this? That's unity. I could talk about how that's brought about. Well, I've already addressed one simple and important point, and that is leadership should start headed out. And the rest should follow together to accomplish that given end. So, unity is important. This house is going to be as strong as we are united together in our purpose, in our love for one for another. If the enemy can get you, one of you, two of you, talking about one another behind each other's backs, this house has started to be destroyed. When criticism takes place, we need to remember that for every criticism I have against somebody else, there's loads against me. But by the grace of God, I'm able to stand. Hallelujah. And so we need to maintain unity in the house. I want to move over to a couple of other areas, I think, because they're so vital. And I want to talk about love, because love is the greatest. In fact, we should read these together. If you have your Bibles, let's open up at... let's start off at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And when I talk about this love that we're reading of in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape love, God's kind of love. That's love of another kind. Do you know that God doesn't love the way you and I love? We have no idea what real love is. Love, God's love gives and gives and gives again. And I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about just gives. God's there for us all the time. In every area, God gives. Love gives. Hallelujah. So here in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's just read. I'm going to read the whole passage. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. Should underline that. If I don't have love, let's see what it says. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Doesn't matter how much I love. Doesn't matter how much I know. It's how much I love. Love is the greatest. If I don't love, I'm just a clanging lump of brass. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm really still nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. That really is... put a real dampener on people that gossip about one another, isn't it? Wow. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Faith bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Praise God. Never. Should underline that. It's underlined in my Bible. Well, I've underlined it. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's our Lord and the Word, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And I really read through all that to get to this verse. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. Listen to that. Faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. I'm going to turn you to 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, let's read from verse 7, we'll find this fine. On First Epistle of John chapter 4. Epistle of John is just before Revelation, a few books. That was helpful, wasn't it? Okay, I'm reading from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves, you want to underline that, we're reading now, is born of God. Do you know how you'll know if you're really born of God? Everybody's sure that you're born again today? Everyone that loves is born of God. Hallelujah. Everyone that loves is born of God. Mm. and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means reconciliation. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In other words, we have an obligation to love one each other. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Whoa, need to underline that. And this love, his love, has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'm going to leave that with you, and I want to urge you to read it again in your own quiet time. Read it for yourself. See what God is saying there and what that means to you, if anything, by way of adjustment in your life. To be born again of the Spirit of God, it requires us to repent of our sin, acknowledge God, invite him into our life as our personal Savior. That's what that requires. But when he comes into our life, it's for him to be able to live his life through us. And that's what love is about, because God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we ended up concluding something very important about love. It says that, about love, yes. He said, love is the greatest. He says, there remains now, as you know, faith, hope, and love. That's what it says. Faith, hope, and love. Do you know that we need faith to live? You cannot believe the word without faith. Faith is the ability to believe it, to live in it. It's not a concept of the mind. It's a work of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God works through God's faith, our faith in God. Have the faith of God, is what the Bible says. So here we have three things: faith, hope, and love. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, a very powerful statement. You'll hear me make this, quote this occasionally, and it says, God says, it is impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What I'm trying to do is communicate to you the importance of faith. We need faith to function in any realm in relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God without faith. You cannot receive from God without faith. You cannot apply these words, promises of God, without faith, because they will not take place. You have to believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that scripture goes on and says this: it's impossible to please God, that they that draw nigh to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He is. I think faith may be required there. Would you think so? But they must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder, that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently. Look, I'm not gonna expound that word for you. Go and look. Find it in your scriptures. You'll find it in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Go and look at that word and then resource the word. God is a rewarder of those that are who diligently seek Him. Let me help you a little bit. Those who are diligent in their seeking of Him. You know, if you saw a young fellow leaving home and he's about 10 or 11 years of age and he's going to school and, he's going as slow as he can, he's going around every corner that he can, he's kicking this and everything, you know, he's really not interested, you know. Do you think that man has a real desire to get to school? And we've all probably been there, and we probably know some that are there today, you know. I don't think he's going to be top of his class in a hurry. Something's going to have to change inside of him. His attitudes have got to get different. And I think a lot of us Christians are like that in our relationship with God. We go out to school, we follow after God, we come to church and we go to meetings. But it's more than going to church and going to meetings. It's a relationship, a personal relationship with God. And it requires faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but they that draw nigh to God must believe that He is. Faith is the key to everything. You cannot get saved without it. You cannot implement this word without it. You cannot see healing in your body when the word promises it without it. Faith confesses the word in any situation. No matter the circumstances, faith says it, not the way it is here, but the way it is here. So faith is important, isn't that right? We require faith, God's kind of faith. Faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. Paul concluded in 1 Corinthians 13, there remaineth now these three, faith, hope, and love. And love is the greatest. That's what he says. Faith, hope, and love. Do you know why love is the greatest? Because faith can't work without it. If you haven't got love in your life, if you don't love God with all your heart, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, if that love isn't emanating out of you through circumstances, you haven't got faith. In fact, let me, where will I take you to? Now let me just labor that a little bit more. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet, how important is that? Because the Bible says that we've already read that love is the greatest. Why is love the greatest? Because faith works by love. And without faith, listen to me carefully, this is not an intellectual thing, this is a spiritual thing. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how can we have this love that we need to have for faith to function? Faith comes out of this one truth. I believe God is, because God is love, and I am daily living in the blessing of God. My provision, my protection, my peace, my help, my strength, my comfort is from God. How do I receive that? How do I stand on an impossible circumstance, let's say sickness or whatever, but your circumstances are causing you to speak with your mouth that which you feel and see, and yet the Bible says you're already healed. How do I apply that truth? But I'm healed. Ah, but, says the doctor, but you say, I am healed. I know you're Christian, you go to church, but listen, these are the facts. No, these aren't the facts. The facts are what God says. How do we get hold of what God says? Only one way, through and by the medium of faith. I believe it, full stop. There is no debate, there is no question. I believe that God is. What enables that stance of faith in that dimension to operate so powerfully and so stubbornly? Love. I love him. I know he cannot fail, will not fail, for he is who he says he is. Hallelujah. A good husband and a good wife which should know what I'm talking about clearly. Hallelujah. Faith comes and works by love. Look at Romans. Let's turn somebody to Romans. No, not Romans. Galatians 5, verse 6 says what? Faith worketh through love. So you can imagine and think you've got faith operating because you're quoting the word, but you've got to believe it. And if you can't believe that God is God and what he has said is absolutely true and you apply it to your life, how can you have faith for this problem that you're in? Because faith starts and is only found in love. Faith is in love. So I've touched the importance of us knowing what it is to be generous, to give according to the word of God, to honor God with our tithe, honor him with our offerings. You know, that's a work of God. It takes money for the work of the kingdom to operate. I'm continually getting communications from overseas ministries, mission programs that are going into the world. There's our crystal just headed off last week, wasn't it, to Cambodia. You know, what does she require for that, just for her to go? It was, I don't know how many thousand. And then before that, she was in Africa, I don't know, well, and here's Carla. What do your trips cost, just for you, ballpark? Yeah. So mission work, where does this come from? The saints, sure. Who else is going to give money to see the gospel go forth into all the world? Because the Bible says when this gospel is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. That means Jesus, hallelujah, is coming back for us. You excited about that, or are you happy with your present life? Glory to God. Yeah. So here I've reminded us of some things. Giving to God of your finances, generously and liberally, and giving, and not just putting that in the offering, but from the moment, or before you even put it in, you're thanking God for the blessing. He said, well, here I give. We just thank him. We start and we quote him, Father, you said you're going to give us good measure. And we imagine it, good measure. Pushed in this, pressed right down inside, good measure, pressed down tight. So you stuff this bag, if you like, tight. Pressed down. Shaking together, even tighter, and it's running over now. Is that the promise of God? Have I just? Yes, it is. When you and I give to the work of God, or even give to somebody, and give, Father, thank you for your word. You say, oh, that's just you just want to get money. No, no. God wants you to give so he can give you more, so you can give back more. Hallelujah. You know, if you had a job where you were earning £100 a week and you were able to change that job and get a job for £500 a week, how much more could your family prosper and other people be blessed because you had more finance? This world has made finance a dirty subject. But God's plan is that. So, finance, we've talked about finance. We've talked about the importance of unity in our home. Peacemakers, husbands and wives with the children, children with children, peacemakers in the house of God, peacemakers. When we hear and know somebody is spreading discord in the house, don't keep your mouth closed. Go and say that's wrong to that person. You haven't got to spread it around. If you know that person or if they say it to you, you say to them, that's wrong. That's wrong. The Bible says this, seven things do I hate, Proverbs 6:19. Six things do I hate. The seventh is an abomination to God. And the seventh one is this, he or she that sows discord amongst the brethren. You should share it. You should let it be known. Don't stand by and listen to it. You say, that's abomination you're heading for. That maintains unity and the flow and the peace of God. Sometimes this tongue of ours, you know, the Bible says it's like a fiery thing, isn't it? And it can accomplish some unbelievable things. They're not good things. And what else did I share with you? They shared the importance of faith. Galatians, anyone find Galatians chapter 5, verse 6? Anyone want to read it out when you find it? Galatians 5, verse 6. You should underline it. Nobody got it yet? Okay.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love.
Amen. For faith to work through love, you've got to have love flowing first. And then faith can flow through it. That's God's way. Why? Because God is love. That's his makeup. That's his substance. That's who he is. Hallelujah. That's the blessing. So I've shared, two, three, four things. And there are others. But I've shared three or four very important areas for you and I to live as Christians in the house of the Lord, that the blessing of God not only can increase on our lives, but in the work of the kingdom. Amen. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? Anybody got those? Let me remind you, God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Faith is the link. Love is the key.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps and blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.